Thank you very much, Bill. Our third panelist is a young man I met a few years ago who, in Indiana parlance, and in my opinion, has real smart brains. He holds his doctorate from MIT. He worked in the economics department of the RAND Corporation, where he worked on national security and domestic policy analysis. He served, and we seem to have a Nixon alumni club here, as special assistant to the president in the first 2 years of the Nixon administration, where he worked on federal budget proposals, science policy, and business and business regulatory policies. When I met him, he occupied the position of director of the U.S. Office of Telecommunications Policy, where he was responsible for developing and proposing changes in federal regulation of the electronic media. He has been, since then, a fellow at the Kennedy Institute of Politics at Harvard and the MIT Center for International Studies, where he's writing a book on the future of television. Would you welcome, please, Mr. Clay T. Whitehead.
Unlike the other two panelists, I have to agree basically with Kevin's analysis. His description of the current status, I think, is accurate. His description of the tendencies in the media, I think, are accurate. And in particular, although I think it's not clear just how powerful the media industry has become in molding our minds, I think it is reasonably clear that the media are oligopolistic and will, in the future, tend to become more so. There's several reasons for that inherent tendency. Most other commercial organizations will tend to become more oligopolistic. Business abhors competition. When I was in the White House and I heard a businessman speaking to me calling for more competition, I knew immediately that he was going to ask for either less regulation for himself or more regulation for others. Businessmen at the head of every corporation seek to find a way to minimize the impact of competition, and the people in the media are no different. Furthermore, the media and the incumbent politicians need each other. And such federal regulation as now exists in the media field is used far more often to consolidate media power rather than to attack it. Both public policy and economics favor media oligopoly. There is the public good effect. Once an article is written or a TV show is published, the incremental cost of distributing that to many different individuals, to many different audiences, is quite small. That tends to produce a monopolistic effect. The FCC has encouraged exclusive network affiliation agreements, which consolidate the power of the three networks and indeed have created the phenomenon of threeness. If you've ever wondered why there are just three networks and not a fourth, the answer lies in the FCC's policies of encouraging exclusive affiliation and in the number of American citizens who have access to three or more, as opposed to four or more, VHF television station outlets. Furthermore, the FCC and AT&T have arranged for the pricing of network lines, both for wire services and for the TV networks, that discourages fractional time networks. And there's a final phenomenon, which I think we all have to recognize, an economic and a social phenomenon, and that is that sensationalism sells. I have great hopes for the future of Mr. Terrell's magazine, but somehow I don't think it's going to make it in the same league as Newsweek and Time. So while I agree with Kevin's analysis of the situation, I must say that I find his solutions naive, short-sighted, and wrong-headed. All those things in short, Kevin, that you aren't. The expansion of federal government control will be used inevitably far more effectively by the disciples of Walter Cronkite than by the disciples of Kevin Phillips. This is true especially because the Washington political establishment will always be vulnerable to the mediocrity, as Kevin calls it. Just as every regulated industry comes to shape the agenda and the precedents of its regulating agency, so more regulation of the media means consolidation of monopoly position rather than checks on the power of the media corporations. Liberals, I fear, will always dominate the media, because sensationalism, excitement, and change for change's sake always will sell better, always make better copy than responsibility, stability, and tradition. And in the long run, I think, the liberals will be far better at using regulatory controls to further their philosophy than conservatives or anyone else. But there's a more fundamental reason for opposing Kevin's solution to what I think we all agree is a problem. The answer to too much media power is not more federal control over what we see and hear. The proper remedy is less corporate oligopoly power over the distribution of news and entertainment in the United States. We have to seek policies that promote real competition in the media. And the way to have that is sensible economic regulation of the media industry structure, rather than regulation of their content through the fairness doctrine and other such approaches. I think Kevin hit on it when he said we must recognize that the media are not First Amendment sacred cows. They are very much, unlike in the days of our founding fathers, commercial organizations. And the First Amendment, even in the interpretation of the Supreme Court, does not exclude the media corporations from economic regulation. We need economic policies for regulating the media that encourage cable with its multitude of channels that relieves this lock that the three networks have on the distribution of television programming in the United States. We need to rethink remedies for antitrust applications in the media industries. We need to think of antitrust remedies that would make possible, let us say, each television station affiliating with a network for only 1 hour each evening in prime time. We need to think about treating newspaper distribution systems in major cities as common carriers rather than as monopolies. And I'm sure that if we thought about it, we'd find a lot of other ways to approach the problem of media monopoly. The First Amendment excludes from the authority and the realm of the government those qualities that most of us would agree are uniquely human: the right to believe, the right to express those beliefs, and the right to distribute those beliefs to our fellow man. No thoughtful people, especially, it seems to me, philosophical conservatives, should rush to give over these matters to the regulation of federal bureaucrats. Thank you.